Today is Father's Day. For the last two Sundays, ending June 8th, and the last two Wednesdays, ending June 11th, I was amazed to find out that the messages on the pulpit are interrelated. The two Sundays dealt with tales of two churches, Laodicea and Smyrna. And the two Wednesdays are about Jesus knows all men and Jesus answers us. I believe the speakers did not discuss with each other the topics they shared to the congregation during those 4 days. I feel strongly that the speakers are guided by a superpower we call the Holy Spirit to deliver their messages. And I'm convinced personally that something will happen in this church that each of us has to watch for. Last May 11, I spoke about mothers because it was Mother's Day, exhorting all mothers for their tireless job and dedication to their families and their children. Again, I was requested by the Board of Elders, our Board of Elders, to speak on June 8th, but for some strange reason, it was moved to June 15th, today, Father's Day. Perhaps the reason is a silent and implied suggestion to me to speak about fathers. Then I searched my old files about fathers, but I didn't find any at all. From the time I found this, but instead I found a message entitled, "How Important Are You in Our Local Church?" From the time I found this file, I have been musing whether to deal on this subject instead of about fathers. I finally chose to share the message about this topic, setting aside exhortations for fathers. I thought I had to hit while the iron is hot, so to speak, and discuss matters of importance in our own very own church. So, my apologies to all fathers for not commending you by way of message, your contributions to your families and children. Being a father myself, I know firsthand that we, fathers, are the symbol of leadership, provider, protection, and discipline in our families. I salute you all for your remaining strong and steadfast in serving your families and especially the Lord. I could have entitled my message as A Tale of Another Church, Inkster, Part 3. But because I might experience copyrights and accuse of plagiarism, I entitled it The Local Body of Christ. Now, let us find out what a church means. The church is defined in the Bible as the community of believers who confess that Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. According to Matthew 18:20, the church is not a building structure, but where believers in Christ meet together. In Matthew 18:20, it says there, "For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them." It could be somewhere. for as long as there are at least two believers who are present, communing and glorifying God. The word church originated from the Greek word ekklesia, which means an assembly of people. Now, in the context of the local body of Christ, who are we in the Maples Evangelical Church? In a scale of 1 to 10, with the higher number being the better, how do we rate our importance in this church? Is our presence relevant to the local body of Christ? Are we leaders, ordinary attendees, or someone else? Together, let us read again 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 14. Verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between three spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. The moment we genuinely accepted Christ as our Savior and Lord, we were born again and receive the assurance of eternal salvation. As human beings, our life has appreciated greatly in value before God's presence because we became children of God, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. By the grace of God, we were simultaneously bestowed by the Holy Spirit spiritual gifts, the supernatural powers that enable us to get together and work harmoniously with one another for our common good and welfare. Now, what are these spiritual gifts? Spiritual gifts. In the verses that we read, there are 9 spiritual gifts there. Verses 8 to 10 enumerate the 9 spiritual gifts in the Holy Spirit bestows. To one, there is given the spirit of a message of wisdom. To another, a message now of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. to another, miraculous powers to another, prophecy to another, distinguishing between spirits to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, interpretation of tongues. These gifts are given with one purpose, that is to edify the local body of Christ for the glory of God. Now, what does edify mean? Edify means to instruct or improve someone morally, spiritually, or intellectually. Or in other words, another word is build up. This can be accomplished by believers by working with one another cooperatively in doing God's mission and work in this chaotic world. It also means giving sincere and honest compliments instead of destructive criticisms to our brothers and sisters in Christ when they do commendable things. Now, I promised yesterday that I'm going to make you laugh. But with trivia humor. Mind you, this will apply only. You will get this if you know how to speak Tagalog or Filipino. Okay. This is not one trivia humor. This is my definition. Edify means to instruct, to improve Eddie. You will ask me, Eddie who? Eddie ikaw at ako. Eddie, you and I. Second one, humor. If you extend your left hand, the left side, and your right hand, the right side, what do you call this act? In English? Edipa. Okay, so much for that. Edipa. I told you, I'll make you a little bit humor. If you know how to Tagalog and English, edipaya. There was one time, I'm going to add another one. This is not in the script. When someone approached a beautiful lady and says, someone told you that you're very beautiful. Who is that? Eddie. Who's Eddie? Eddie ako. Yeah, that's it. What, you know? Now, here, going further, I would like to share with you a true story about how to edify or to build up works. Guess, you might guess this later. There was a man, single, in his late 20s, was ready to settle in that complicated married life, just like Naomi and Louis. He is a Christian and was praying to God that he finds a Christian partner. He visited several churches, hoping that he would find prospects, but to no avail. One family event happened in that man's life, the death of his grandmother. So what happened is the whole clan gathered together to pay last respect to the dead. One of his cousins, who is married to a pastor, inquired if he had a girlfriend already, to which he answered her, he has not at the moment, and he was then still available and negotiable. Yeah. His cousins invited him to pay a visit to her church and said, "See you someone, a Christian lady, to be introduced to him." His cousin mentioned to him all the positive adjectives or descriptions and characters of the young lady. Reluctantly, he agreed and set a definite date for the visit. Unbeknownst to him, I don't know whether you know what is the meaning of unbeknownst. He didn't know. Before the set date, his cousin had built up him also to that lady too, telling her that her cousin is someone who is a professional and working in a well-known multinational company. To cut the long story short, the man and the young lady met at the set date and became friends thereafter. 2 years later, after their meeting, they were married. The couple was blessed with two wonderful children, now both professionals and serving the Lord. Yeah, who is this guy? One thing is noteworthy in the story, although building up someone to another works, it is the power of sincere and genuine prayer seeking the Lord's will that initiates the building up or edifying. Now, let us go back to the spiritual gifts. And maybe, who are you who are mathematicians here and whose favorite subject is mathematics or arithmetic? Are you privy to this whole numbers and fractions? Fractions. 1/2, 2/4, 3/6, 4/8, all of them, because 4/8, those are fractions. Now, in solving arithmetic addition problem, we commonly encounter the terms whole number and fractions. It is quite easy to add whole numbers like 1, 2, 3, 4. You just add them and straightforward and we get the sum of 10. However, to add fractions, also called part of a whole, it is a little bit complicated. You know why? You have to find first the numerators and denominators. Once you have known them, the next thing to do is find the least common denominator, or called LCD. The other term for LCD is liquid crystal diode. It's not applicable here. Divisible by denominator of each fraction, that will give a whole number. Then multiply the whole number, the quotient, by the numerator of its fraction to get a new amplified numerator. Because there is already a common denominator, the sum of the numerators can now be added and placed over the LCD, giving a new amplified fraction that can be reduced to lowest term it need be. An example is this. You add 1/2 plus 1/4 plus 1/2. Identify the numerators and denominators. Number two, determine the LCD that could be divisible by each denominator in each fraction that will yield whole number. The LCD is 4. That is the least common denominator. For one nap, you divided by 2, the denominator, first denominator, you will get 4. This is wrong. It should be 2. Sorry, because this morning we got some a sort of computer glitch, you know what? Our server crashed, really. So all my preparations actually were messed. Okay, my apologies. 4 divided by 2 equals 2, it should not be 1. For one port, that's correct. 4 divided by 1 equals 1. And the third fraction is 4 divided by 4 equals 1. I don't know why, in my text it's 2. Why is it? Maybe I change it, or because of the cross. Now, when you add that, the amplified sum is 4 by over 4, and it is equal to 1. Now, you may ask me, why is the LCD illustration above relative to the spiritual gifts? In the above sample problem, the objective is to find the sum of the fractions. To accomplish that, we need to identify first the common good for each fraction, and that is the LCD of 4. After that, the process, the objective sum can be arrived at following the mentioned steps. Since spiritual gifts are bestowed by the Holy Spirit to edify or build up the local body of Christ, each gift is a portion of a whole and needed to be incorporated to other gifts to avail the common good or edify principle similar to LCD phenomenon to achieve the desired favorable results. Effectively, the common good binds all the gifts for the glory of God before God's eyes. All gifts stand in equal footing. That is, not one is treated highly or poorly. I use the LCD mathematically. Now, the another metaphor that we're going to use is the human body metaphor. Perhaps Saint Paul studied a little bit of anatomy or sort of science before he became a lawyer, sort of a lawyer. In the context of the body of Christ, Apostle Paul described the human body to illustrate this diversity and unity within the church in verses 12 to 14. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part of many. These three verses clearly state that the human body is composed of different parts, each of which is working interdependently. Mark that word, interdependently. If it is independently, it means it can stand by its own. But inter, you need something, another part. What is it that the cake. I will read again. These three verses clearly state that the human body is composed of different parts, each of which is working interdependently with each other to maintain the good health of the body. Each part is strategically placed and designed to maximize the effectiveness in the body. Have you wondered why the four senses, which are the four senses, sight, hearing, smell, and taste are all located in the head? Why is it that the fifth sense, touch, is present all over the body? Why do eyes produce tears? Ears store floor wax. I store not floor wax, ear wax. Inside the nose, what's inside the nose? Hairs. Why do we have two hands, the left and the right? Oh, that might. Why fingers? Why 10 fingers? Why 10 toes? There are logical and physiological reasons to support the answers to the above questions. But whatever they are summarized as reasons for the protection and well-being of the functioning body. Note that when the tip of fingers, next slide, there, tip of finger is accidentally poked by a needle, causing a hole in the tiny vein, and it bled not only the affected finger, but also our whole body would feel the pain. However, other parts of the body, particularly the blood, would platelets and plasma, would quickly expand and repair the broken tissue by clotting the damaged vein, minimizing the loss of blood, thereby protecting the body. You see what is on the slide? The parts, the components of blood is plasma, WBC. I don't know what is being. I think it's white blood corpuscles and RBC. Red blood corpuscles and the platelets. So when you add platelet plus plasma equals blood clot. That is good, but if you have heart problems, it's not good blood clot. I was thinking before that WBC is a World Boxing Conference, and RB is World Bank of Canada. No, it's not like that. Similarly, the body of Christ, the church, is composed of genuine believers performing diverse functions depending on the spiritual gifts by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit bestowed on us. Not everyone is an apostle nor a prophet. Neither everyone is a teacher, miracle worker, healer, nor a helper, giving guidance, speaking in tongues, or interpreter of tongues. But each one of us, guaranteed, at least has one spiritual gift. The Holy Spirit gifted us. Be it one or more spiritual gifts given us by God, we must use them to build up and protect the church so that His name will be glorified in our lives. Have you heard about present value? Present value for accountants. This is very important, the present value. At TMC, we try to assess our current spiritual. At TMC, have we tried to assess our current spiritual standing before God in edifying or building up our church? Have we fruitfully utilized the spiritual gifts the Holy Spirit bestowed on us for His glory? Did we prioritize God's affairs ahead of our personal affairs? Are we following up what Matthew 6:33 says? Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You know, in realty business, if you are engaged in realty business or selling properties, real property values are very important. Real property sellers and buyers haggle with these figures to gain financial advantage. Sellers consistently try to raise property values high as possible to maximize profits, while buyers always bargain for lower values as possible to save some money to cover other expenditures. Now, in the spiritual realm of the local body of Christ, believers are the agents of the seller of the gospel of Christ. The most valuable property ever known to humankind. It is priceless and cannot be bought using the words monetary standards. It does not fluctuate in value inherent in the stock market, and nor affected by the law of supply and demand. It is heavenly, everlasting, and everlasting property prepared by the God Almighty, written in John chapter 4, verse 2. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? As agents of God's property, are we in the local body of Christ willing to offer the priceless value of Christ's gospel at a discounted worldly price, tainted with divisiveness, compromise, and complacency in serving Him? Are we prepared to embrace the faithful character of the Church of Smyrna from the lukewarm trait of the Church of Laodicea? It is my prayer that we activate our spiritual gifts, if they're still dormant or not being used, and put them together for God's glory, and let us try to continue to hold on, to be true, honest, sincere in serving our Lord Jesus Christ until we meet Him face to face. Now, this is not here in the script. I don't know whether I have to do this or not, but I will try. Do you think I have another gift at all? Patawa? Hi. What is this? This is my harmonica. I'm going to play something for you. Yeah. I will try my best. If the note the notes are not okay, just hold your peace. Oh, hold your peace. I will play the, how do you call this? Our real property or home in heaven. Yeah. Mansion. We will have mansions there, okay? That's all. No.